Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, this morning we're beginning a September series, and it's called Neighbor. Luke Knight is teaching at Willoughby today, and I'm here, of course. Don't go to Willoughby. Stay in the stay, please. It's not that bad. I'll be done soon. But the question that we're considering in the month of September is the question founded in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10. And the question is, who is my neighbor? I want to read the parable, and we'll discuss some thoughts from this, and then our worship team is going to join us again, and perhaps we can pray together near the end of our service. So Luke chapter 10, verses 30 to 37, Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. This is like a riveting story here, like a movie. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him up, and they left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. When he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which one of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." And then Jesus said, "Well, yes, now go and do the same." This past summer, you may have noticed, there was a tribute movie that was prepared and shared at our theaters called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. I haven't seen it yet. It came and went without me seeing it. Hopefully I'll catch up to it sometime. But certainly those of you who are younger than Trinity Western students would remember Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Can I get a witness? Anybody? Okay, show yourself, people. It's not that bad. Being old isn't that too bad. But Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood tells a story, this movie, of Fred Rogers. He's a former Presbyterian minister. He passed away in 2003, and his show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, was aired for 33 years. It finished in 2001. Many would say, and certainly as I watched it as a kid, I certainly quickly realized it's very simple sets. There's low production quality, and kind of in some ways a very unlikely superstar called Mr. Rogers. And while the show was so simple and targeted primarily to children, the message that the Neighbor series carried was quite significant and perhaps in some ways culture-shaping. And again, while the show targeted children, messages about the need for inclusion and honor and authenticity and racism and many public biases were addressed over a 33-year period, and many would say that Mr. Rogers handled the dialogue quite well. One of the envisioning words of the show's theme song, again, you know, may ring in your ears, but would you be my, could you be, won't you be my neighbor? Remember that? Yeah. I recently heard an interview with the one who produced the show for the movie for this past summer, and his name is Morgan Mevel, and he's quoted as saying this: "That is why I made this film. I wanted to know what kind of neighbors we are. I wanted to know what kind of neighbors we are." I think in some ways, when we take a look at the parable of the Good Samaritan, in some ways, Jesus had the same thing in his mind. He was wanting us to consider who our neighbor is and what kind of neighbor we are. I think we do need to set the scene. Many would say that the parable of the Good Samaritan would be thought of as one of the most popular, but I'm sure there are many here who've never even heard of the Good Samaritan story. So let me just set the scene. I can't retell the story entirely, but let me set the scene, and then we'll walk out from there. The who is my neighbor question was asked by an expert in the law who initiated a conversation with Jesus with ultimately, in some ways, perhaps a very self-serving question. Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then proceeded there to engage in a dialogue with Jesus. And we see in Luke chapter 10 that the religious expert discerned quickly from Jesus that vibrant Christian-centered faith expresses itself in good works, and then perhaps therefore could lead someone to know the gift of eternal life. And the conversation was moving along quite well until the question that the expert asked of Jesus, well then, who is my neighbor? And I think what this expert in the law perhaps was wanting Jesus to tell him was, give me the list. Tell me the names. Point me in the direction. We'll organize something. We'll get it done. Give me the list. Give me the to-do list. And I'll set my mind to it and perhaps then make my way forward into a good future. But as you read the parable, you realize that Jesus doesn't answer the question the way that the expert thought he would. Jesus' answer comes by way of sharing a parable about what a good neighbor is, rather than telling the expert in the law who is the neighbor. So in some ways, Jesus turned the expert's question upside down, suggesting that if you figure out what a good neighbor does, then you will be able to figure out who your neighbor is. Does that make sense? Profound teaching, actually. So in this parable, there's really no question who the hero is. It's the Good Samaritan. And the way Jesus told the story, you can quickly read it and say, yeah, I kind of get the gist here. The temple, the priest, you know, he looked at the need and he walked away. The temple assistant, how could he? But oh, this Good Samaritan, wow, he took the time and he really did make a significant difference in someone's life. He actually saved the life of someone who was lying for dead at the side of the road. But the question that we want to look at through this September series is, what are we to do with this story? And the reason I would begin our series this way is because, to be perfectly honest with you, I have a hard time finding myself in this story. And it's because I actually relate to all four characters. There's four characters in the story. There's the one who is been left for dead, in great need, and needing somebody to come and help. And while I've never lied on the side of a road in a life-threatening situation, I have found myself in tremendous need over the course of my life and needed someone to help me. And you have too, right? Right? You have too. And I would also be honest that I find myself showing in the activity of the priest and the temple assistant. For as I look over the course of my life, I have turned my head in the very same way that they have, because it wasn't convenient or because I just wasn't up for it. I was having a bad day. And you have too. And I've also been the Good Samaritan, say with all humility, but there have been times when I have got it right. They're not too often. But I have got it right from time to time. I have walked out of my way, perhaps even in a way of inconvenience, and I have handed my coins, and I've handed my donkey, and I've led people along my side to places to find help. So if we're seeking to apply the parable of the Good Samaritan, and we kind of, if we're honest, find ourselves in all four places, I wonder if when Jesus was telling the parable, if there's another big idea. And I think there is. And the reason that we come to that conclusion today is in my estimation, the key catalytic statement in this parable is where Jesus said, the one who showed mercy is the one. The one who is merciful. That's the one. In deeper study into the parable of the Good Samaritan, the word that finally surfaces in the dialogue called mercy is the catalytic word in this parable. Because the word mercy, or to show mercy, as you unearth the pearls and treasures in that word, we learn a few things. The word showed mercy means to be the author of, to be the one that produces, the one that yields mercy. That's not me. That's Jesus. Parable of the Good Samaritan is a story about Jesus. First and foremost. Because Jesus is the one that always shows up with mercy every time. He brings mercy to everything, all the time, not just some of the time. He's the only one that qualifies to be the Good Samaritan. He's the author. He's the one that brings with himself mercy all the time. So in Jesus' telling of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan, he's actually talking about himself. And friends, this is classic Jesus right here, because he did it all through the Gospels. If you were around this summer and were part of some of the I Am messages, Jesus did this every time. I spoke a few weeks about Jesus finishing the series. Jesus is the living water, and he did it there. Everybody's thinking about the Pool of Siloam, and Jesus says, no, it's me, it's me. When we looked this summer at the Good Shepherd and everybody's thinking about the people that can help them, Jesus said, no, it's me. It's actually me. It's me. It's actually me. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus is doing what he did. You guys are thinking about yourselves. It's actually, you need to think about me. And friends, I would say that this is the best way to always study scriptures, Old and New Testament. That when we set out in a passage, we need to first discover who is Jesus in this story. Because if we establish that, then we'll be able to establish ourselves in the story. Does that make sense? When we do it the other way around, we often don't get to the best places. So Jesus, often in his teaching, when all the people are trying to figure it out, he'd often raise a hand and said, hey, the one that you're confused about, it's actually me. And that day he stood tall, declaring himself to be the Good Samaritan. John chapter 1 verse 14 says, so the word became human and he made his home among us. Or the Message version says, he moved into our neighborhood. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. So when we begin to talk about the Good Samaritan, the good neighbor, Jesus, we realize that God's love, God's love is not just a nice idea. Good neighbor love is not just a nice idea. It's always expressed by way of something that touches a person. It's always communicated in a way that somebody hears the right message, receives the right gift, experiences the right things, and receives the right benefit or finds relief. That's why Jesus came to the earth as a good neighbor. He crossed the street. He came to reside. He lives amongst us and now lives in our neighborhoods. Jesus' ministry is not a theory. It's not something abstract. For Jesus' ministry always has an address, always has a touch point. It always has an on-earth dimension. And that touch point is always the need of the neighbor. It always involves an interaction, always involves a merciful transaction. So this verse declares again in John, it says that Jesus moved into the neighborhood and he was full. It says he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. This word full, it's only said of Jesus. He was full. It means that he was abounding in. He was complete. He was completely occupied with the need. This word refers to export. Full for the purposes of exporting. Jesus says, I have in my hand what people need. And he actually says that with us in mind. Jesus always draws near. So the parable of the Good Samaritan is just classic Jesus. Drawing near. Getting close. Being a good neighbor. The good neighbor was the one who showed mercy. And again, that's Jesus. So how do we, on this first week of this series, how do we apply this? I think the most basic application is this. I think that Jesus, if he is the good neighbor, he needs a place to reside. And he wants to reside in the midst of your life, in the midst of your need. He wants to come alongside you to celebrate and also to serve. When we lived in Victoria, I had a neighbor. And he became a good neighbor. I'm not going to say he started off as a good neighbor because I'd be lying in church. But he was a retired guy. And when we first moved in, the first time we noticed him was because his kitchen window looked out over all of our lives. You have a neighbor like that? And it seemed every time I looked out anywhere out of the direction of our home, he was always like looking at us. Right? He was always like, and wow, you know, build a wall. Let's create some division here. We didn't have enough money to build a wall. So we found our way into each other's lives. And he was a fix-it guy. And whenever Dave, me, was outside showing my saw or my hammer or my ladder, I mean, he'd be all over that. Like, what's going on over there? And being the classic fix-it guy, retired, a little bored, he would always make his way over. And when we first were neighbors, he'd kind of do the walk by the, you know, along the street and look in like this. And then eventually he kind of made his way onto our grass. And then eventually he made our way in somehow into our home. And he was the fix-it guy. With great curiosity, he would watch over our lives. And he got to know that I'm not the fix-it guy, but he is. And he got to know that I usually had a tool, but it was not the best tool. He'd go like always shake his head, and then he'd walk over to his house into his large garage and get the best tool. And I benefited from it, but not without that walk of shame right there, you know. He got to know that I usually had an idea, but it was usually not the best idea. And he got to know that I had a little bit of skill, but it usually was not enough of a skill to complete the job. So eventually, I let him be a good neighbor. And it was good for him, and it actually benefited us. It's kind of the neighbor that Jesus is. He kind of watches us struggle along and says, yeah, I could help you there, and I could help you there, and I could help you there. You just need to let me in, right? I can help. And as Revelation 3:20 says, I stand at your door and knock. And if you hear my voice and you open the door, I'll come in. And we'll share a project together, or we'll share a meal together as friends. Jesus is the good neighbor. I think we should apply today the parable of the Good Samaritan by recognizing that Jesus is the good neighbor and he wants to come in and make our life better. And the second application and the final one is this. I think we need to become open to the thought and the interest that Jesus would move in our neighborhoods. That he would move in our neighborhoods. What would it look like? Again, to let Jesus into our lives, what would it look like if Jesus, there's 36 houses on our street, what would it look like if Jesus began to do great things in my neighborhood? What would it look like this fall as you think about that house just over and three down? If you invited them to Alpha and they said yes. And you found yourself on a spiritual journey with somebody who you become a good neighbor to. What would it look like if Jesus moved amongst our neighborhoods and that person over and five houses down this fall became a Christian and began looking for a church home? Could it be that this could become a place for that person to land? If it's not, then we have to readjust some things, right? We always need to be making room for a neighbor. And I know that that is the heart of this community so, so much. Proverbs, I'm going to invite you, the worship team, to join me. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. It says, wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she's crying out. She cries out. And at the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. This passage, this Proverbs, reminds me of the ongoing activity that Jesus, the good neighbor, is involved in today. Friends, one thing that this Proverbs reminds me of is that we don't have to create the activity of the good neighbor. We don't have to get God's attention. We have to give him our attention. Jesus, the good neighbor, with us today. We have specifically designed this service to leave some time at the end here for prayer, for the ministry of the good neighbor. And I'm not sure, of course, what you're facing today, but I would suspect that in a room like this, there's people that are carrying some pretty significant concerns. So what are we doing with it? I hope today that from this introductory lesson, the series from the Good Samaritan, that you would hear today that there's a good neighbor. His name is Jesus. And he's knocking today in the hearts and lives of people, and he's just looking for the invitation to come and to come in and get involved. I want to invite you to stand. I'm going to ask our prayer team to make their way to the front of the room. There, as we finish this service, we're going to sing two songs. The first one is called Come to the Altar. And I'm going to dismiss this service on time. Trust me, it's going to be fine. But at the end, in this moment, in this part of the service, we're very interested in you talking to your good neighbor. And some of you, a very appropriate thing to do today would perhaps say, I'm just standing in need of prayer today, and there are some people here that would want to pray with you. If you're newer to Living Waters, one of our values is authenticity, which means we come as we are when we come together. And the best thing for some of you to do today would be to find someone to pray with you. Maybe you don't take that place, but what we do want us to all take a place is a place in his presence. And as Nick and our team leads us, I trust in these next few minutes that you would allow your good neighbor to minister to you, because he has good things in his mind for you. And this can be a good day of us experiencing good things from the hand of our good neighbor.